Let us discuss the topic of gebrochs. Matzah shuruya. What do you eat gebrochs? You're chassid? You're chassid? Okay, so the general rule of thumb is chassidim do not eat gebrochs. Litvaks, Lita, what? Every hotel
is
gebrochs.
No, every hotel is
nine gebrochs.
Okay, the different
matzah. Thomas and says, why are they eating it?
Okay, so Hasidim generally do not eat gebrochs. Minaglita, the Litvaks, they eat gebrochs. The Gra ate gebrochs. Okay, the Gra. The Gra had no problem with eating gebrochs. The Gra held did not hold of the schumer whatsoever. The Chofetz Chaim, do we know what he did? The Chofetz Chaim, I think he says that it's a nice thing to do, but he doesn't make much. It doesn't seem like he makes much of it. He says it's a minhag. Some people do it, but it's not very very strong. Now there is a notable exception. I don't know how this would ger chassidim. What do they do?
They don't.
Because the chassam
sofer. The
only
thing that they do is they put on tefillin
backwards
the wrong way.
It seemed, I don't know, now you should know from the Machmirim, if I'm not mistaken, from what I've read over here, in the Rabbi Freund, that from the Machmirim, who are the biggest Machmirim in Gebrochs? There are many Madregas. Who are from the biggest Machmirim? It would appear Lubavitch.
Lubavitch has all kinds of
and it seems that Lubavitch, they are extremists when it comes to Gebrochs. They're also extremists?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, there are many different.
They don't trust anybody.
Different.
Okay,
we're gonna see. You know, we're gonna see different examples of. Let's say you want to mix it in fruit juices.
What does Rav Moshe do?
Rav Moshe was a Litvak.
What did he do?
I don't know what he did. I don't know. But there are different levels. Now it seems that the Chassam Sofer, that's what I've read over here. That I would imagine Gerach Chassidim comes from Chassam Sofer.
No.
Real pilots. I'm sorry, I made a mistake then. So, okay, I made a mistake then. The Chassam Sofer. So who are today are people that are Chassidim from the Chassam Sofer?
Chassam Sofer are Eberlander. They're not. They are Chassidis.
Yeah.
But they are.
Chassam Sofer was famous for eating gebrochs. Okay, Chassam Sofer.
Because Eberlander do eat gebrochs.
Right. Chassam Sofer eats gebrochs.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
He was mechosin.
Chassam Sofer?
No, he never was.
Chassam Sofer was famous for eating gebrochs. You have the Gra, the Chassam Sofer, Minaglita is to eat gebrochs, no problem. Chassidim have taken upon themselves as chaburat not to eat gebrochs, which include there are different madregos of stringencies. How far are you going to go when it comes to your wife? Women and children, people who are zikanim, if it's going to cause you to not be able to mekayim the mitzvah with all of the hidurim of eating matzah, what about the first night? What about the other nights of Pesach? We'll get to some of the ideas in a moment. There are different madregos of chumrois by different groups of chassidim. The common denominator is chassidim do not eat gebrochs, but there are different madregos of how far they're going to go, if they're going to throw you out of the house, if they're going to cash the kalim. They're going to cash the kalim if someone used for gebrochs. So let's discuss what is the issue. What are these? Where did this thing come from? Now the truth is, this really is alluded to in the Gemara, but for an entirely different reason than what is commonly the reason given for it today. Now let me give you the common reason why today Hasidim will tell you they do not eat gebrochs. And today it doesn't really apply, but it goes back to years ago when matzah was not baked the way it was baked today. Years ago, matzah was baked thick. Matzahs were thick. It's a fact. Even among the ultra-Orthodox, whatever you want to call them, matzahs were not paper thin. It wasn't like the pupa matzah. What's that called? The pupa matzah?
Pupa tzelen.
It's thin. It's not the way matzah was a tefach. It was thick. It was like a cake. And it was very common that when they baked thick matzahs, the dough was not kneaded well. There was always a possibility that when you crack open the matzah, which is more like a cake, you would discover there are some pockets of powder, which appears to maybe be flour. And this flour was not kneaded well. And now, if this will come in contact with water, the clock will tick, and it will turn into chametz. So there's always a chashash of flour that has not been properly kneaded. It's still raw. It's still potential for it to turn into chametz. Chametz is osur b'mashehu. Chametz is not like all rules of kashrus. Everything that we eat during the entire year, whether we like it or not, is all subject to bittul. It's all, almost everything, the rule on the OU, they should put up a big, big sign on the outside of every kashrut organization, batel b'shishim, because there's almost no such thing today as 100% kosher. It doesn't exist. Ruba deruba, everything comes from, food industry is so complicated, so complex, there's always going to be taking the concern that the machinery or something has some taruvis of a non-kosher ingredient. Has to be. But Baruch Hashem, we have something called batel b'shishim, and this is a fact, and if you don't accept this fact, the batel b'shishim, you really cannot eat anything in this world today. It's not clear. I don't know if we really even know. I don't know the answer. But this is so. Normally there's bittul b'shishim, batel b'shishim, but not when it comes to Pesach chametz, then there are different rules. Chametz aser b'mashu. Therefore, if you're going to have matzah that's going to be thick, and you're going to find inside of it some powder, white powder, which may very well be some flour that was not kneaded and did not undergo the process of preventing it from turning into chametz through the process of baking, then if it now comes in contact with what will turn into chametz, then you are in trouble. And he writes over here by form that even there are records of even in times when they made matzos very thin matzos. But the kneading, it was well known that the factories or the place where they bake matzahs were not done with professionalism. And it was very common that wherever he brings, I don't have all the details, but he brings, it was very common that when you would buy matzah, there would always be some powder on the matzah.
This is in the Gemara, you know, what you said.
No, I'm going to come to the Gemara. I'll tell you the Gemara. I'm going to come to the Gemara in a few moments. But it was very common that when you would buy matzah, you would take home the matzah, and in the package, or even people who bake privately, there was always this white powder all over the place. Even on thin matzahs, what?
A very big problem is mitzvah matzahs because of the rush and the frying.
Right. It's very dangerous.
That is the most dangerous place.
Well, in time of Chazal, they would bake matzah on Pesach itself. Forget about Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach is really good. They bake matzah on Pesach itself. What?
When Mitzvah Shabbos is Pesach.
On Pesach itself, yeah, they do it now also? They do now also?
Only some.
Very rare.
Okay,
but
because it's a real problem then.
Because then it's mamish ma. There's no bittul because you can say bittul before Pesach. Erev Pesach, you can still say bittul. Pesach itself, you can't say bittul. No. But in time of Chazal, they baked matzah on Pesach itself. The mamish would bake matzah on Pesach itself. So therefore, there was always this concern. This is what I'm telling. It says in the Svarim that even when they baked, they made thin matzah. The kneading and the system, the way it was set up, it was not like today where everything is an industry and there are people that are watching and there are people that are looking to make trouble. They're looking to catch you. So yeah. People are on guard. It's a parnasa. People are going to lose. If you go make a, you slip, you're finished. No one's going to buy for you matzah. You can lose your parnasa for you and your family for the rest of your life until you get out of it. So today everyone is super, super careful. Years ago, who was watching? You make matzah here, you make matzah there, this one, that one, privately. There was always this problem that people took home matzah and you would find on the matzah a powder, a white powder. Where does that powder come from? So some would say, no, that even if there is powder, but being that it was put in the oven has burnt out that powder. So therefore, it's not shach for it to become chametz. Some would say, no. This powder, where'd it come from? It has to be that this is leftover flour that was not properly kneaded. It somehow is loose. And this powder, now when you go and you mix it and soak your matzah in soup, or you want to make matzah meal, and then you're going to bake something, you're eating in raw flour, chametz aser mashu, and you got over here a very big problem. So this was accepted to be a very big problem. Now today we don't have that problem. Today you don't see people coming out of the matzah baking factory and you open up your box and you don't find white powder anymore. So this and the matzahs today are very, very thin. So certainly the dough has been kneaded very, very well. So there's not really this concern. However, minug avoseinu biyodeinu, this appears to be tradition from Hasidim. It was a real problem years ago. We're dealing with a real issue. And minug avoseinu biyodeinu, we continue the tradition not to eat not to take matzah and soak it in any type of liquid because he may turn that powder into chametz. Now the Gemara, there's a story in the Gemara, and the Gemara, the story is subject to interpretation by the Rishonim, and there the Gemara talks about a case where one of the Amoraim came to someone's home, and he saw them making matzah meal. He saw them taking, they had matzah, they ground the matzah into powder, in other words, matzah meal, and they took this, and they use it as a flour to make a dish, to make some type of dish, or to add this into, as a paste, into some dish that they were making. So the Amoira, I don't remember all the names, the people, I'll read to you in a moment if I find it, he said, what in the world is going on over here? It's Maris Ayin. Because here in this location, there are slaves. There were Avodim. And the Avodim, what do they see? What do they see from their eyes? They see they're taking out what looks like powder, white powder. I don't know if it was white, because I guess matzah meal is not perfectly white. It's a little bit brown, whatever it is. And they're taking powder, and they're making bread. They're making the adding into the dish, and there's no shmi, and they're not doing anything. So they're going to say that just like they're taking this powder, and there's no safeguards, so too, what's the difference? We'll go to the basement, and we'll take some flour that's been put away, and we'll take up the flour, and we'll add the flour into the dish to go and make the dish taste better when we run out of this special powder. They have here in the kitchen this powder, and they're using it. So when they run out, we'll go to the basement and take more powder. Little do they realize the powder that you have in the kitchen is matzah meal. Shmura. This is the real deal. This is expensive shmura matzah that's been ground, shomer mishatz ketzira, and it's been pulverized into a powder in order to use as matzah meal. They're going to make a mistake, and they're going to think that it's regular flour. And if we can use this, we can come to use this. So this Amori said, how do you allow this to be done? So they said, una chayish. So he said, but over here there are avodim, there are slaves here, and they don't understand all the complexities of halacha. They don't know the difference between matzah meal and regular flour, and you have to take into consideration the marasayin. They may come to make a mistake in the future behind your back. So someone has said, that's why Bizman has said today we are not even on the madrega. It's a very, very extreme thing to say of avodim. If the avodim, the halacha was true for the avodim, it may not have been true for amoraim. Yeah, let me see if I can quickly find the Gemara. The Gemara is, it's Psachim Daf Mem Amid Beis Mesuper Al Rav Papa Shehitir Levur Dike. He allowed the bakers the Bei Reish Gelusa LeMimchei Kedera BeChasise. And it's not clear what the Gemara means. The Rif there explains he allowed the bakers to eat chasise, means matzah meal. That's what it means. Matze, afuya, shetoichanim oisa, umivashtim oisa, bimayim, umoilim bo es hakideros. And Omar Rava saw what was going on. He saw that Rav Papa, he allowed the bakers by the Reish Gelusa, where Rav Nachman's home, to do this. He said, what in the world is going on? Omar Rava, Iko, de shore, ki hai milsa, beduchto, de shchichi avde. Is there someone that allows you to take matzah meal? According to the Rif's interpretation, and you have to see which Rishonim, how they explain Pshat in the Gemara, because they have many interpretations of the Gemara, and that will be a very big deal. But taking all of these conditions together, is there someone here that allows you to take matzah meal in a place of where there are slaves and add this into a dish? The slaves are going to make a mistake. They're going to think it's regular flour. And tomorrow, when the Mashkiach is not here, they're going to take real flour that's the regular flour, and they're going to add it into the pot, and they're going to have more than 18 minutes, and it's going to turn into chametz, and they're going to serve chametz. Okay, that's the Gemara. The Gemara goes on, and the Gemara is subject to a lot of interpretation. There are two lashonis of the Gemara, and ikadiyami, two lashonis. So some will, if you want, you can figure out a mahalach in the Gemara that is completely irrelevant to Gebrox, and you can ignore the whole Gemara, and if you want, you can work out the Gemara in such a way where it comes out that indeed this is a real problem. And indeed, many say this is the main Mekar. This that we have a tradition that it's because there might be some flour is a mistake. That's not the real reason. The real reason why we don't have, with those people in Makbid, not to eat matzah shiruya. Matzah shiruya is the halachic term. Matzah that's been soaked in water is all really based on Maris Ayin. Maris Ayin. Well, halachically, it's for sure okay. It's only a chumrah. It's only a chumrah, which has only been accepted by select groups in Klal Yisrael. Minag lita, meaning nusach Ashkenaz. If you daven nusach Ashkenaz, that typically means you're from, you're a descendant of lita, and that means you, your family, your tradition is not to be machmir on this. Those that are machmir, what is their reasoning? The primary reason, the way Rabbi Fruin explains, is because it's a Gemara, it is an issue of maris ayin. If you start using matzah meal at home, matzah meal, see, it's not so much dipping the matzah and making, dipping the matzah in the soup. It's the knedlach. The knedlach, or adding matzah meal into a dish in order to enhance the quality of the food, to add matzah meal. Once you start using matzah meal, you'll slide down the slippery slope, you'll go out to your local grocery store, and you'll buy flour, and you'll add flour into the dish. What's the difference between flour and matzah meal? It looks identical. That's the real time. Now, the other time we gave is because maybe when you bake the matzah, in the matzah there's some flour that is loose, and it's not been kneaded, and that flour can still turn into chametz. Well, I'll give you a major nafkamina. Major nafkamina is, let's say, a piece of matzah. So I'll be very careful to eat the matzah, and I'm going to dip the matzah in the soup. And I'll be very careful to eat it within 18 minutes. It should be mutter. Even in the worst scenario, that there is some flour in my matzah, part of the matzah has folded and it's not perfectly baked.
No, but the thing is, the soup is already salted, and that's ma'ar.
So the salt will be ma'ar lahachmetz. All right, it's a good case. It's discussed. Such a thing. Okay, I'll give you another example then. Let's go to top. There's a very big issue. People that are the chassidim that are makbid. A makbid on a matzah shrui have a very big problem when it comes to koirech.
Right.
When it comes to koirech, what do you do? How you koirech matzah umoror v'oichlam biyachad. So what's the moror? Let's say you're using lettuce. It's usually wet. It has to be wet because of today the bugs, right? Today you're so makbid. They tell you it would be fresh. You're not going to have a dry piece of lettuce. And even a dry piece of lettuce has moisture, which if you leave it on the matzah long enough, will soften it. No, but let's say there's water. Okay, you want to say the mayperis? Come to that. Okay, but let's say you have lettuce. The lettuce has water. Okay, so it's only water. It's water mixing with your matzah, right? You take the koirech, and what do you do with the maror? You dip the maror. That's the mayperis part. Okay, you can dip the koirech, mm-hmm. the maror into chareises, and the chareises is wet. And then you put this clump. Okay, but there's such a thing for matzah shui that you don't have to be makbid on 18 minutes. You don't have to say it's going to happen faster than 18 minutes. So this is an issue. So if you learn the tam, so look at the lumbus. If the tam is because maybe there's some flour that has not been kneaded and has not been scorched by the fire, very chshash rochuk ad mo'id, such a chshash, but if that's a chshash, you don't have to be makbid to say that when you mix it with liquid, it's going to become chametz in less than 18 minutes. When you say fruit juice, it becomes chametz quicker, that's only a chumrah. L'chayra, even with the fruit juice, it takes 18 minutes to turn into chametz.
No, fruit juice doesn't become at all.
Oh, okay, well, mix tarubis, so okay. That's a chumrah. That's a chumrah. But to go, so then, as long as I'm eating it very quickly, it doesn't have enough time to turn into chametz. You don't have to be chayish for your chumrah, that salt is going to make it happen even faster when it comes to something which bechlal is not even shaykh to begin with. But if the time has nothing to do with there being flour, the time of not mixing together is because of, it's a general rule of marasayin. It's categorically usur. Oloi plug, you don't mix together because once you start mixing, you're going to come to eat flour, then it doesn't make a difference. Now he provides you another fascinating reason. This you can apply to the hotel.
Can you explain marasayin again?
Marasai means, the case of the Gemara is, they had in the kitchen matzah meal. And there were servants who were unlearned, illiterate. Not necessarily. Chayv and mitzvahs. People that were ignorant. And they were in the kitchen. And there was a chef. And the chef said, the recipe calls now to add matzah meal. Bring me the matzah meal from the chef. They bring this thing that looks identical to flour. And the chef takes the flour, and he puts it into the soup, into the dish. And the servants are there watching. And the servants say, wow, look at this, it's Pesach. And he's taking flour, and he's putting flour into the soup. Okay, the next day, the chef calls in sick. And he tells his assistants, you know what to do, you saw me do it yesterday, so just do what I did yesterday for today's lunch. So the servants say, oh, but we ran out. We ran out of matzah meal.
Is there any different than any kosher kitchen where a guy can go to a store and buy something that's not kosher?
Which has been done.
Because on Pesach, we're dealing with a chiyuv kores. And chometz is also b'mashehu. Chometz on Pesach is a dover chomer admo. In regular kashrus, usually the most you can violate is a loisase. Is a loisase, it's a laugh. Chelev is already a different madrega. Chelev and dam, that you're dealing with, it has to be dam hanefesh. Dam, even dam, you're not going to have karis. Chelev, but chelev is very rare. You're not going to have a shaylev chelev. It's very rare. So you're dealing with a loisase. Chometz on Pesach is karis. Is kares and it's also b'mashu. So the standards of Pesach are off the charts. Off the charts. So then matzah meal looks identical to flour. This is loy pluk. Once we're going to allow people to start playing around with matzah meal, the next thing they're going to go buy flour, and that's chametz gomor, therefore loy pluk. Or is the time because there might be some residual powder, flour, which is left over. Now let me give you another time. He brings down over here, I think, from the Rav Yoh. Fascinating, fascinating reason. This is totally off the charts why Hasidim will makabel upon themselves the Chumrah of Gibraks. Because if you are allowed to have, really matzah meal is 100% mutter. We're not chayish for powder, we're not chayish for maris. These are extreme chumras. 100% mutter. You know what the Chumrah is all based upon? Once we allow you to use matzah meal, it's an entirely different menu. It's now open season for the hotel business. Where come to this hotel gourmet meals. Once we can use matzah meal, do you know what that means? Do you know the possibilities? Possibilities for food preparation. All the various dishes where you could add the cakes and who knows what goes on.
Anyway, they know, what do you call
anyway
they
do it. Anyway, you know what they...
they have, what do you call, rolls that they make?
Mamish bread.
Non-gebrock rolls.
Ad kedei kach.
Yeah. So, I told someone I'd like non-gebrock rye bread. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so here's the problem. The problem is, once you allow, this is fascinating, this reason, once you allow for matzah meal, it opens up a menu that's unlimited. So what?
They give you
So very good. Simchas Yontif. So what's the problem? If you could afford to go away to a hotel where they offer 9-course meals for breakfast, so gesund heit. So what's the problem? The problem is it's not the issue. Problem is, so then we're going to now have to order an enormous amount of matzah meal because the menu is the possibilities are limited. Okay, so you call up the order and say, okay, we want matzah meal. Well, what kind of matzah meal do you want? Do you want shmura mishas kitzira, shmura mishas techina, or shmura mishas lisha? So say, we want the best. Listen, this is the hotel. This is the hotel. So say, you know what's going to cost you? Ooh, I can't afford that. I can't. So you know what? Just give me the minimum. Give me the shmura matzimil mishas techin, mishas lisha, or mishas techina. And you know what? Once already, we're not so makbid on shmura mishas kitzira for the matzis. The matzis mitzvah that we're going to serve at the Seder. It's anyway all the same. Once the meal, the Shulchan Aruch, is not Shmura Mishas Kitzira, so Mimela, nothing has to be Shmura Mishas Kitzira. Everything can be Shmura Mishas Techina, or even worse, Mishas Lisha. It's not possible to have the Chumrah of Shmura Mishas Kitzira once you allow matzah meal to enter the market. Because the amount of matzah meal that you're going to have to provide to your customers is going to be infinite. That's the way it is. It's going to be infinite. And you cannot possibly have the chumrah of shmur mishas kitzira for the matzah meal. And once you're not going to have shmur mishas kitzira for the matzah meal, that will automatically affect everything on Pesach. And you're not going to have shmur. So therefore they said loy plug. Loy plug. Shmura Mishas Kitzira is a very difficult thing to do right. It's very difficult. Don't have hasagis of ordering for the average family 100, 200 pounds, 100 pounds of matzah shmura mishas kitzira. Don't have this chum hasogis. Just focus on a small amount of quality. You can have matzah, you can eat whole matzahs. It'll be shmur mishas kitzira. How many pounds does the person need for the whole Pesach? 5 pounds, whatever it is. 5 pounds. 5 pounds I can handle. I can handle having 5 pounds of matzah, shmura mishas kitzira. You're going to allow me to use matzah meal. Matzah meal is 100% kosher. There's no chash of chametz. But once we're going to open up matzah meal, then I don't need 5 pounds. I have a whole family. I need 100 pounds. 100 pounds we cannot provide for Klal Yisrael, the chumris, or shmur mishas kitzira, 100 pounds of matzah. Therefore, loy plug, let's focus on a small amount of God. It's a very logical, very mistavridic reason. Has nothing to do with the common reason why you go talk to people. Why don't we have because maybe there's some powder, there's some in the crack. Everything. I don't think I ever found in a folded matzah, in the crack of the folded matzah, any powder that might be there left over. It's just not shayach.
It's not shayach. You don't have any matzah meal at all.
Right, correct.
But which how bad if you're having soup without canela? And you can't
so
put,
it's all.
You
so,
can't put farfel in the.
Okay,
soup.
So you're saying very good. No, you're saying you. So you're saying something that's very good. What you're saying, Inachan, this is where you start seeing differences in different various minhagim. Not having matzah meal, according to what we just said now, that really is a ban on matzah meal. But it's not necessarily a ban on taking your matzah and putting it in the soup. It's not. There are different madrigos. There are people that will not use matzah meal, but when it comes to eating, they don't pay much attention. So they'll put a piece of matzah in the soup. Even if there's flour, I have 18 minutes until it turns into chametz. It's not because people don't know what they're doing. They don't know where their minhagim come from. But you have to go down back to the sources. Is it a?
Take a piece of matzah, put it in your mouth, and take a piece of the soup. What's the big deal?
That's derech achila. It's derech achila. What about your saliva? The saliva is also a liquid that's go the world. Okay, so there's another time. Now,
that's
this,
why you needed b'chdei achila's press.
Okay, there's another. Now, this
which
time,
is up borders, to 9 minutes. Why do the people who eat a nan gebrot eat knedelich on the eighth day?
Oh, that's a whole different.
Not everybody.
That's a whole topic of discussion why the eighth day is different. Let's finish up one other point. Another point. There's another reason. Now, the other reason really is an extension.
Because the eighth day is min aleph eva. There's no gebrot.
No, okay. We'll come down in one moment. I just want to point out that's another very important time. There's a fourth reason why people do not have matzah meal. Now, the fourth reason is really an extension of the second reason we gave. The second reason we gave was because maybe, the first reason we gave was the common reason that people will tell you because maybe there is some flour that has not been fully kneaded. Okay, not every bag, that's a baking factor. Do they need the flour? Do they need the dough very well? You have to knead it very, very well. You need it very well. You know. You really learn Musa from this concrete. Go outside on the street, and you'll see that many sidewalks. When they put a little salt, even they put chemicals. The concrete begins to come up, sometimes it doesn't come up, and sometimes even don't put down. It becomes up.
For the first year.
So why? Even some places where you don't put salt, it comes up. Why is that so? So a contractor told me because it's not, sometimes the concrete is not really mixed well. It's not mixed. Even though the machine is spinning, these big massive trucks come in, they're spinning. Yeah, they're spinning all you want. The quality of the mixing is not perfect. And when it's not perfect, you're going to see little specks of concrete are going to come up throughout the year when it gets cold, it gets hot, when it rains and it doesn't rain. And you can even see sometimes sand. You can even see sometimes the sand comes up. So you think it's being kneaded so well. People there are sitting there and they're working, it's being kneaded so well. You'll be surprised. Sometimes the flour is not kneaded so well. There can be small pockets of flour. So if that's the case, how are you allowed to eat matzah? How are b'chlal, are you allowed to eat matzah? Because maybe in the matzah itself, There was some flour that was not kneaded well, that was not done well, and the fire did not get to it. So maybe every single matzah, maybe scientifically under a microscope, you will find specks of chametz. You'll identify under a microscope the difference between chametz and matzah, and maybe you can take any piece of matzah and you could analyze a matzah very carefully under a microscope. Maybe you can find in every single matzah specks of chametz. because it wasn't kneaded well, it wasn't baked well. The process of kneading and baking stunts the possibility for the flour to turn into chametz. Really? Can it really do a perfect job? There's always a possibility for things to get away. So the answer is maybe you're right. Maybe you are indeed correct that parts of every single matzah have in it chametz. But it's bottom. Or you'll tell me chametz also b'mashahu. Just because chametz also b'mashahu does not mean that it's not bottle. When it was done erev Pesach, before Pesach, the rules of bittul apply. And certainly when it's not nikkur, when it's there's another rule of bittul that's only not bottle when it's in the end, you can see it. But if I can't see it's part of a taruvis, then indeed it's bottle.
Not a bottle b'shishim, just a bottle with the...
Bottle b'shishim, bottle b'roiv, all different types of bittul. Yeah. All different, but it's bottle. So even in the worst scenario, you have a matzah, and the matzah, I can prove to you under a microscope that there are five little teeny specks that are called chametz because it was not kneaded perfectly and it was not baked perfectly in the oven the way it should be, and there's a teeny little specks of chametz under a microscope, it's okay, it's bottle. But if I now on Pesach take this matzah and I grind it up into a flour and then I bake it again into a cake, into something else, and I heat it up, it's a new maisafia. So there are specks, in other words, there are specks in every single matzah that are really chametz. Theoretically, this is one approach. And when I rebake it, hello? Now it's like choyzer v'neyar. It reawakens. And now you can't say anymore that it was bottle when it was in its original form.
Does but bottle when, mean it becomes kosher? What does bottle mean then?
Bottle means it's kosher. It's mohudr. You can eat it.
So how does it come back?
Because when I pulverize it and I rebake it, then it's a new maisa. It's a new maisa asiya. It's a renewed. And now when it's renewed, I have over here flour. 99% of the flour is kosher flour, but 1% is not kosher. 1% of the flour is chametz. When it was a matzah, the 1% didn't count. It was bottle. But now when I make it into a flour and I rebake it, that 1% now it reawakens. It's choyzer v'neyar. So that's a fourth reason why and that'll be an afkamina. It's only be a problem when you make matzah meal. But when you take your matzah and you put it in the soup, then it doesn't apply. Because you're not. Okay, so these are four
reasons. But why is the 1% okay?
It's bottle. Because one percent is only a problem when it's be'en and it's done on Pesach itself. When it's made before Pesach, then it does become bottle. Bottle, and also being that it's not even noticeable, it's mixed up in the taruvis, it's mixed up in the matzah, it's not noticeable, so it's also bottle. But when I pulverize it into a flour, now you can't say it's bottle anymore. When I do a new ma'asasi, you've recreated, you have exposed it, you have brought it forth, so you're eating mamash chametz on Pesach. So it's not because this powder, in the matzah itself, this chametz, mamish. It's not that there's this powder, and the powder is going to come with water and now turn into chametz. No, in the matzah, there's mamish chametz. But as long as it's part of the matzah, it's bottle. When I pulverize it, now I have a taruvis of chametz to matzah. So therefore, it will be problematic. So exactly, we have four different reasons why to review the reasons, then we'll stop and maybe do some of this next time. The four reasons, number one is because of there's some flour. Flour, loose flour that has potential to turn into chametz when you mix it with water. Number two, it's maris ayin. It comes back to a masugi in the Gemara and Pesach Pesachim. It's maris ayin. What's the chilek between matzah meal and buying regular flour? Reason number three, because once you start using matzah meal, there's no limit to how much matzah meal you're going to want. It's not shaykh to be nizer in shomer mishas ketzir for all of your Pesach needs, and you're downgrading this chumrah of the ikur. The ikur is becoming the tafel. Reason number four, every single matzah under a microscope may have, we're not really chayish for this, is true, may have chametz, but it's bottle. When you pulverize it, it's chayzer v'neyar. Okay, we'll stop here.